This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside a world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production. We are back this week, better than ever, with a vengeance, talking about...
vampires.
That's right, vampires.
A bloody subject.
It should be a good subject.
Should be.
Good and bloody. No, I don't know.
I hope it doesn't get plenty. Bloody in here.
You getting good and plenties?
No, we're out of candy. I checked the drawer.
I know, it's bullshit. That's all right, though. I should have brought my own candy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so fucking vampires, man.
Hold on. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wanted to thank people. We've been getting a lot of good reviews lately on iTunes, like I've been asking for.
We got a couple bad ones, too. But
no, we read those, so it wasn't since last time. We've got none bad since last time.
Oh, no bad reviews since last time?
No, that's actually kind of cool. Normally, we get them by the truckload. But yeah, keep them coming. Go to iTunes, download iTunes, do whatever you got to do, figure
Shit.
It out. I'm going to, I guess, make a web page and makes it a little easier in the future.
I almost fucking broke the pen.
What pen?
This pen.
Yeah, well, the people on the podcast don't know about the pen yet.
The pen that I have in my hands, we received from a loyal listener, Chris Dabney. He had sent us some pens. He makes them special in his house, I think, in his house.
Probably his garage.
Maybe his basement. You don't know.
Workshop area.
Workshop. Some sort of workshop area. Anyways, he likes us. We like him. So he sent us some pens.
Yeah, that's a pretty good review. He likes us enough to send us pens.
I think so, yeah. I think that's better than a 5-star iTunes review, sending pens.
It's pretty close.
Marissa sent us the coasters. So, I mean.
That's pretty cool, too.
But don't feel like you have to send us anything. But if you do, we'll totally show it on air and use it. And he's got a YouTube channel, chrisdabbingpens.com. Been dabbing some. What?
You're on a roll. I'm impressed. But anyway, thanks for the reviews. Keep them coming if you please. So let's do it. Vampires.
Vampires.
So what do you know about the origin of vampire? What's your origin story?
My origin story, the most I know about the origin of vampires is Vlad the Impaler.
So that's one of the origins of vampires.
One of the and so let's just start there.
With Vlad?
Yeah, I have an interesting
Well, give me what you got about Vlad. That's not where, as far as I know, it starts, but
he's 32 generations removed from George W. Bush.
Oh, give me that side of Vlad the Impaler. Give me your craziness.
He's 34 generations removed from Senator John Kerry. John Kerry's also 12th cousins twice removed from Princess Diana.
Oh, be damned.
And now, did you know that Vlad the Impaler is along the same lineage as Prince Charles, who was Princess Diana's husband?
I mean, I probably shouldn't ask because it's vampires and, you know, it's like, who cares about your sources? But where's that sourced from?
The internet.
The interwebs?
The internet, yeah. The internet's
Fair
my
enough,
source.
I guess. Yeah. You got this nice, he's got this nice graphic he's had since our very first episode. Yeah, he's got it on the YouTube there.
If you want to check this out, check out the YouTube video. It's pretty cool.
Somewhere around the 17-minute mark.
But anyway, so yeah, Vlad the Impaler, I hear he was a nasty fellow.
He was also known as Vlad of Wallachia. Did you know that? He was
Of what? Say that again.
Wallachia.
One more time?
Wallachia.
Wallachia? Wachovia?
Now you're making me think I'm saying it. It's Eastern Europe. You never know how they say things over there. So he was born 1431, died 1476.
1476? It was that long ago?
Yeah.
Gosh, I only thought it was like a couple 300 years ago.
No, man, 500 plus. 540
years.
Wow,
that's weird.
Yeah. So the name Vlad actually means son of the dragon, or Dracula, which means son of the dragon.
Dracula.
Did you know he was actually murdered? That's how he died.
No, who murdered him?
Probably to, like, you know, people,
locals.
Yeah, locals.
Damn townspeople.
Tourists.
They Tourists. Were
like,
no,
I don't like all your bodies on poles, so I'm gonna stab you. Did you know his tomb was empty?
Vladimir. Oh no, you know what? I heard something today that they took his remains to Somewhere to get checked out, and then they like mysteriously disappeared. Like recently, like within the last like 40 years or so, they had the Vlad.
What?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what I heard.
I don't know about that.
And then they mysteriously disappeared.
So he would.
Because they were going to test the lineage with Prince Charles. That was the whole deal. And Prince Charles, even in this one video I saw, admitted Vlad the Impaler was in his lineage along down the line. Now, there are those videos where they make people say things that they're not really saying.
Could be one of those.
But I don't think that's the case with this one.
Who's coming out saying, yeah, Vlad was my 13th uncle twice removed?
I mean, if you're Prince Charles, who the fuck cares? What are they going to do to you?
Nothing. But...
your mom's the queen. Oh, wait. Revelation time. Okay. Revelation time.
I'm
okay,
so scared.
Wait a minute. So wait a fucking hold the phone here.
Calm down.
Okay, so Queen of England.
Right, I heard of her.
How's she related to Prince Charles? That's her. That's his
mom.
That's his mother. Okay, so that would really kind of mean that her lineage would be Vlad the Impaler also, right? And everyone knows the big conspiracy about how the Queen of England is a lizard that drinks fucking blood from people. I mean, do you think that could have got misconstrued somewhere along the line that Vlad the Impaler was the original reptilian and he just carried his lineage on down through the lines to where Queen Elizabeth is also a lizard, but they're saying that...
vampire lizard, maybe?
Well, no, maybe they're not really vampires. Maybe that the vampires are misconstrued and it's actually just reptilians.
This is one of the craziest things you said, and you said some whoppers.
I've said some wild shit, huh?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think that's too far off to think. I mean,
you don't think that's too far off, huh? That
I mean, I could make that reach, you know?
You have made that reach.
I did.
And I'm throwing it back.
He's like, and we're not accepting
Here's
that.
Here's what we do know a little bit factually, apparently, about Vlad, is that he would nail hats to people's heads and then skin them alive and then impale them on upright stakes out in his front yard, backyard, all around his castle.
What kind of hats? Were they like turbans?
I don't know.
Or like derbies?
He was from this, top hats? Like the Slavic area, like, you know, Romania-ish area of Eastern Europe.
That by Transylvania?
Transylvania is in that area.
Yeah.
He had problems with Turks, too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. The Turks were the ones he had apparently had skinned and placed on poles.
Turkish people is what you mean by that?
Yeah, Turkish. Ottoman Turks. You know what I mean? The Ottoman.
Uh-huh.
Ottoman Empire.
The Ottoman Empire. Mm-hmm.
He said to enjoy dipping bread into the blood of his enemies and eating it. So that's kind of...
Well, I mean, I do that from time to time. Just not the blood of my enemies. Just like gravy.
So it's not even close.
No, not close at all.
Shit into gravy. All right. He said to have never ate a meal without Turks around him dying on stakes.
Oh, so he was just at ease with people. Excuse me.
At ease, my ass. It seems like he was at ease.
No, with people around him dying and dead, that's when he was at ease. I got people dying over here. I'm going to eat my meal. I'm dying while this person suffers.
Can we get a couple more in the corner? You know, it's kind of light on dead and dying.
I'm a little short on torture. Can somebody please torture this guy over here?
It said at one time, no, there was 20,000 people on stakes outside of his castle.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
For real?
As a warning to anybody who would think to...
impale him?
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. That's
gnarly as shit. What other origin stories you got for, vampires?
Well, the modern idea of vampire basically started in, like, the 1700s in Eastern Europe. Your Transylvania area, Serbia, Bulgaria. I'm going to name off a bunch of weird countries. Slovenia, Croatia, Macedonia, Poland, Hungary, Bohemia, Moravia, and Silesia.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, and Salvador, too.
We're not getting into that. That's not what we're talking about. Any which way. A lot of those countries don't even exist anymore. They've been swallowed up by bigger countries, and as things happen over
here. They've been conquered.
Like how Prussia is now Germany and all that. Shit changes.
Prussia?
Yeah, Prussia.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, boy.
With a P?
Yeah, Prussia with a P. That's Germany.
Not Russia at all, like not Russia, like it, Russia, but
right.
Prussia.
Yeah, Prussia, right around 1800.
That sounds like a pop song.
Anyway. Man, you throw me off here. anyway, it was around 1700 in that part of Europe that the idea of the modern vampire was developed. So you got to think about what it was in that time. Most people in that time were like village people, serfs, you know what I mean? They weren't the most educated. They believed in superstition.
Right, right.
So superstition ruled the age. So, let's see. It's pretty much, if you think about it, the same crowd of people that were around for the Spanish Inquisition 300 years ago whenever they were killing witches. Nothing had really developed since then. So, 300 years earlier, you know the Spanish Inquisition.
I do.
They were killing people for all kinds of weird reasons.
I do.
So, it's the same type of mindset. There were tales told of men who had died like months ago and then seen again moving and speaking after they had died. So, that's the first tales of vampires.
Now, I heard an origin story that people would...
I'm not done.
Oh, okay, go ahead. I apologize.
Anyway, they're
saying... Are you sure your sentence, the beginning of my sentence doesn't start in the middle of yours?
Not unless you're reading this paper I didn't print out for you.
Oh, okay.
They were said to sustain themselves by drinking the blood of both men and animals. The bites would cause man and animal alike to become sick and die. So, it's pretty weird.
Have you seen those cages that they put over graves so that the vampires can't come out of the
grave? Did you know that headstones were originally meant to keep people in their graves?
I did not know that.
Yeah. I actually, when I was reading through a bunch of facts about stuff, and one of them claimed, headstones kind of stem from vampires. Well, it's not really vampires. It's the undead.
The undead, zombies.
Which is kind of vampires. It's like people coming back from the grave. But and it claimed that that's what headstones are for. And I wrote on our, I found this bullshit, thing about headstones. So I went and looked it up. Yeah, it's kind of true.
That's true?
Yeah.
Wow. Weird. I didn't know that.
Like 2,000 years ago type thing.
I knew that that people used to dig up their kin, and because, after you die, your fingernails and your hair still grow. And there's something about, they were like thinking that they were like still alive for a while after that. So they would
Right. Because, I'll get to that here.
You've got some of that.
I got some of that.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, these weren't alerted people. And they would see that whenever somebody would die, if they ran out, blood would leave their body, they would die. So they would think the blood is like your life force.
Right.
So whenever they'd see this guy drinking the blood of people, they would automatically assume that he must be taking this blood in to get the life force.
To live forever.
Right. That's how they would get their immortality. That's
the immortals.
Right. Mm. So one of the most famous tales of this happening was the tale of a man named Arnold Paol. He was a Serbian Hadjuk, which was like a guerrilla, a freedom fighter. He was more like a border patrol at the time.
Really?
So he moved to this village. What was the name of the village? Do I have it here? No, I don't. It's an Eastern European village. It's told that he, in his life, had told many times when he was in Turkey as a soldier, he had been plagued by a vampire. And what they call plagued is basically infected.
Right.
So he'd been telling people, yeah, I got infected by a vampire all these years ago. Any which way, he eventually dies.
That's not very vampire-like of him.
Well, stick with me. I don't have how he died here. He just maybe died of old age or whatever. But any which way, a couple months after he died, people had believed they had saw him after he, had supposedly been dead, like ghouling around in the hillside or whatever.
Oh, no shit.
So they dug his ass up. And
he wasn't there.
No, he was there. It looked like he had grown his hair out. And that's where it originally comes from. There was like a big plague. There was four other people. They dug them all up. They chopped their heads off, cut all their arms and legs off just to make sure shit didn't keep, propagating.
Some people.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Said within a month of his death, four people had claimed to have been plagued. They all died shortly thereafter. It's when people started remembering tales that he didn't. They didn't like this motherfucker saying that he was attacked. Man, my notes are real weird. I write in spoken word for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
Let me keep going here. 40 days after his death, they opened his grave to dispatch him once and for all. When they opened the grave, they found that he was not decomposing. Not only that, he still had blood in his veins. His mouth and clothes and the interior of his coffin were said to be completely bloodied.
Really?
His hair and nails and beard had all grown. At this point, people were like, yeah, as our custom, we're going to stake this guy in the heart. So they actually drove a stake
through his heart. That's probably a good idea at that point.
Right. Supposedly, he awoke whenever they drove the stake through his heart and shrieked very loudly. That's where I get a little weird about this whole story. But this is in many, many books. Let's see. Afterwards, they cut off his head and burned his body. They did the same thing the four people they plagued. 5 years later, same village, another outbreak takes place. So this was kind of a village that was already thinking shit's going weird anyway.
And they had an outbreak.
They got it in their head that there's vampires afoot.
Oh, they got the, what do they call it in fear? They got the fear.
Yeah. So what's interesting, though, about classical vampires like this, your 1700s era vampires, is it's not like your aristocratic vampires that everybody thinks about these
days.
With
the cape and the fucking...
Right, your rich type of sexy suave vampires. They're the blacksmith who died, the kid down the street. They're ghoulish type of creatures. They're not really flattery creatures, you know what I mean? They're not... What's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, it's flashy.
Flashy, I guess, works. So I always thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, so how do you become a vampire?
Am I done here? Hold on here.
You're shitting all over us, Everett.
I know, man. I should have reread my notes before.
Shitting all over us, pal.
I have 10 pages of notes I wrote. I'm a little slow getting through them again. And the second time in that outbreak, 13 people died. Did you know that during this era, people were so afraid of vampires that they would nail people into their coffins when they were dead?
Nail the actual people inside the coffins?
They would just basically run a nail through you into your coffin.
a big nail, like a spike?
Well, they're not putting a little bitty 10-penny nail through you and putting you into a coffin, so yeah. What else?
They impaled them then.
Sometimes they would even be bound or have their limbs chopped off, or they're even decapitate people before their burial to make sure they didn't come back.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, is just to cut their fucking head off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would say surefire, like 100% not chop, coming back.
Yeah, just
yeah, not coming back.
Why not just cremate everybody then?
Right, yeah, because fireworks.
Anyway, Michael Bell, director of the Rhode Island Folklife Project, believes that the modern headstone is a holdover from vampires. And this is where I think he's full of shit. This is in my notes. As headstones have been around for a long time. And then I wrote, scratch that. Here's the link. iscga.org/history-of-gravestones.html. It actually is thought that headstones originated from to keep the dead from.
You know literally nobody's going to follow that link, right?
Well, like, I still wanted to say that's where I found it.
Right. Just say, I've got the source.
Okay, how about this? There's a book in 1733 written by a Johann Heinrich Zofius that was called The Dissertatio de Vampiris Serenciibus. I can't pronounce it, but it was a book all about vampires.
Really?
In 1733, there were several books written in that era, actually.
About vampires? That early, yeah.
About vampires, what they're about, how to find them and look for them. Did you know that during that era, too, people that were actually vampire hunters, men who made a living going town to town?
Hunting vampires.
Yeah, clearing out vampire infestations, looking for the next infestation. Some of them were probably, you know, people.
I mean, I wonder who paid them, like the townspeople?
Probably. Oh, we got a vampire problem. We'll get to our town. It's like Van Helsing type shit.
It smells like fart over here.
All right, where are we at now? How about the origin of the word vampire? It's apparently a Hungarian word.
Lauren said it's actually David Rockefeller, who had 6 heart transplants. Not Soros.
What are you talking about?
Chat, never mind. Go ahead and continue.
What are you talking about?
He says Soros had 9 heart transplants. It's actually David Rockefeller who had 6.
How's that relevant?
That's just what he said.
Oh. Why are you telling me?
I'm not. I was telling him.
Oh, anyway. You're making this hard on me today. Let's see. One of the earliest accounts of vampires is found in an ancient Sumerian and Babylonian myth dating to 4000 BC, which describes Ikimu or Adimu, the one who is snatched away. The Ikimu is a type of Uruku or Utuku, a spirit or demon who is not buried properly and has returned as a vengeful spirit to suck the life out of the living.
Really?
So it's not a vampire as we think of it, but someone who, you know, a vengeful spirit who has returned from the grave to suck the life out of the living.
A revenant.
Revenants are different. Where do I have that here? They're like cousins, kind of.
Cousins?
Yeah, they're not really the same thing.
So you kind of like George Bush and Barack Obama.
Blood.
Like 11th cousins, you know, vampires and what you're talking about.
You're killing me, man.
You're killing me.
I can't
me.
Get in a flow with you today. You just keep sidetracking me here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. That's so, it. I'm done.
No, you know what? You
show me
ahead.
What you got then, a-hole. Show me your 10 pages of notes.
How about how to become a vampire? How do you become a vampire? Everybody knows that you get bit.
Classically, you got to get bit.
In
a lot
stupid,
of the stories,
sparkly vampire movie, they injected that old girl with like what they called their venom, which was just like silver fucking
vampire venom in Twilight. Yeah. They had vampire venom. I've seen the first one or two of them.
Yeah,
because I really wanted to know what I was bagging on.
Yeah, they don't get much better.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, like I guess whenever the chick's getting ready to die or whatever, he injects her. They call it his venom. And, like, he injects her with it, and then he bites the fuck out of her. Long story short, she becomes, spoiler alert, she becomes a vampire.
Wow, I'm glad I didn't watch that. No, some movies you got to drink their blood, like Lost Boys or whatever.
Because he drinks fucking what's-his-name. Now, that's more of the next episode, but that's right. He drinks what's-his-name's blood and becomes a fucking vampire.
Right.
But see, he's not like a full-on fucking dirty-ass vampire,
in
though.
That movie, though. Yeah, we'll get to the types of vampires.
You know what I mean? Because, like, I feel like that was like...
Right, you kill the leader, and the other ones turn back, that type of thing.
I forgot about that
about?
Rule. No, but I forgot all about that rule. You kill the leader, the rest of them are good. That's
it was only
Lost
in
Boys.
That movie.
Yeah, it's only that's Lost Boys rules.
So... I guess in some ways you could be born a vampire. In some, like, mythologies, vampires can get pregnant and have kids.
Really?
In some mythologies, though, vampires don't have sex.
Well,
in some of them, they're super hypersexual beings.
Well, now the one gal had the kid right before she turned vampirish, and it was like
Blade?
No.
Well, yes, Blade.
Okay, yes, Blade, but I'm talking about the stupid sparkly ones. She had the kid and then immediately died. Well, the kid was like an immortal, like a half... half vampire immortal that didn't need to
drink
blood.
How do you know this much about Twilight?
Because my wife drugged me to every fucking one of those movies. And we had to go out to the movies, watch them. I spent fucking $60 on popcorn and Reese's Pieces.
A lot of popcorn.
Yeah. Only to be unimpressed by this shit. Yeah. So,
thanks, Britt.
Stupid sparklies. Yeah, thanks, Britt. Learned a lot about sparkly vampires and fucking werewolves. Coolest part of that whole fucking four fucking movie thing was like whenever the one part where he jumped up and was a human and then turned into a werewolf in the midair.
It wasn't even the vampires.
No, yeah, that was the coolest part of the whole all five fucking movies.
So that's basically it. You get bit and drink their blood. That way, if you, did you watch, and I told you last night watch it, but Interview with the Vampire?
No.
In that, you also have to drink their blood.
Do you?
In that, basically, the method is that he drains you, or the vampire will drain you. And then replenish you.
With what?
Their blood.
Their blood.
Right.
So what's he got running through his veins?
Well, he'll make his own blood. He'll have to go sleep.
Oh.
They regenerate.
Right. Right. Okay, so what about some of their strengths and powers?
Well, classically, super strength.
Super strength, super speed.
All super senses. Basically all the good shit. They can fly.
Hypnosis.
Yeah, a lot of them have hypnosis. And it's also said, too, that the older a vampire gets, the more powerful it becomes. Bless you. Yeah, there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
The older he gets, the more badass of a vampire he is.
Classically, your powers get more strong. You learn how to use them better.
What about the fucking coffin thing?
Well, the coffin thing stems from the myth that you had to have your home dirt, like land from your home country. You had to sleep in it.
Really?
So, have you ever seen Bram? Are you going to make it? You're going to sneeze again?
Uh huh. Go ahead.
Bram Stoker's Dracula, he had a dirt coffin with him that he would sleep in. It's just the myth that you had to sleep in your own homeland's dirt.
Extra credit, do you know the difference between a coffin and a casket?
No, what is it?
No, the coffins are slanted down at the bottom.
And caskets are not?
Caskets are like fucking rectangular shaped.
Huh.
Yeah.
What
today I learned, right?
What other powers they got?
I think some sort of mind control power or like, but like.
Well, that's hypnosis.
No, but like putting thoughts in people's
like telepathy?
Head. Yeah, like telepathy.
Like mind reading? Yeah, there's been some vampires that have mind reading abilities. What's the chat saying? Chat, you got anything on the powers?
Let's see if you're real vampires.
Nope, nothing good over there.
No.
Oh, we're shitting the bed. I thought this was going to go much better.
Well, what about some of their weaknesses? Now, everybody knows like how to kill a vampire.
Right, sunlight. You kill a vampire with sunlight.
Stake him in the heart, wooden stake.
Silver, apparently, it will fuck him up. It's not just werewolves that have a problem with silver.
Yeah, I did a lot of research that said that silver was bad for him. Not a lot, but okay.
Well, it'll burn him. Depends, again, like certain vampires, the stronger ones, like the older ones, they might not get bothered by silver or garlic.
That's what I heard, too. So, a lot of them are real susceptible to the cross, but some of the older ones can totally overpower that.
You know what I heard about that, too? Is that if you didn't believe in that religion before you died, you cannot be compelled by it after death.
Right.
So say you're a Christian before you die, then crosses will affect you. You'll somehow be compelled. The power of a cross will push you away.
But if you're Muslim.
But if you were like an atheist, you're like, oh, yeah, fucking cross, whoopity-doo, never bothered me before.
Right. Okay. So if you don't, you have to believe in it before your death for it to actually.
That's a new thing I've recently read. So.
Yeah. What about garlic?
Of course, garlic's the garlic. Classic.
Everybody knows garlic. You cut their heads off. They usually
cut their heads off, burn them.
That usually takes care of it.
For me, the only true way to do it is burn them to nothing. Just to be safe, you know? You can put a stake through them, and if it's the type of vampire that explodes in, I'd say you're good. Like your blade-type deaths.
What about, the thirst? You know, like when they don't feed on blood for a long time.
So in my research, some of them can die from it. Some of them just get, like, really, really sick. Like Lestat, the vampire in the Anne Rice, like, Interview with the Vampire in the Vampire Chronicles. He basically just couldn't regenerate until he got more blood. He was like a ghoul, like really fucked up. Like there's a point in time whenever they kill him, like try to kill him, but they aren't able to. They dump him in a swamp, and he feeds off like crocodiles and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
But in that universe, you just go to ground, and you'll heal yourself up. And if you go to ground, which means basically just go to your coffin and be buried for 100 years or so, you get more powerful, but you don't need blood during that time.
Huh. So it's hibernation, basically.
Pretty much. So it depends on the universe. Sometimes they need blood and they die if they don't get it, or they'll just get sick.
I also heard that vampires have like a thing with counting, and that's not just a play on like.
So that's the seeds thing.
Yeah.
So one of the, if you want to keep vampires from coming to your house, they say throw a whole bunch of seeds outside your windows. Vampires have a compulsion to count. Some of them, like I read, that will actually try to plant those seeds for whatever reason.
Well, you know that always like, you know, I'm the Count from Sesame Street.
You think that's what it is?
Well, that was, well, no, no, that's not where it all came from. Oh. It, that was a play on that, on vampires liking to count things.
Son of a bitch.
Because the Count from Sesame Street was always counting shit.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's a play on vampires liking to count things.
Oh.
He had the best laugh ever, didn't he?
He did, didn't he?
There was another one. So the rabies deal. A lot of people think that vampires are just were rabies infested humans. You know, and that's where the original thing came from before rabies was called rabies. You know, back when you used to just exhibit fucking foamy at the mouth and want to eat people and fucking just be crazy and erratic behavior. So that could be like.
Makes sense to me.
Oh, yeah. Are you just like agreeing with me on that or what?
No, I'm listening to you. Not even.
You know, and what about turning into a fucking bat?
So vampires can apparently turn into all kinds of animals.
Yeah, but there's an actual vampire bat, right?
Like, vampire bats, they just drink blood. They're mostly from South America. They live in the rainforest. But they get pretty big, too, like 18 inches.
So you could hold it up and it'd be fucking humongous, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's gnarly.
Let me just go through some of the facts I found about vampires here.
Oh, yeah, some facts, eh?
A group of vampires, you know what that's called?
A what?
A group of vampires.
A brood?
A brood or a coven. Oh, they're also sometimes called a clutch or a pack or a clan.
A pack. Oh, yeah, clan, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else I got here. Have you ever heard of the disease called porphyria?
Porphyria? No, I have not.
So it causes people to get vampire-like symptoms like pale skin, sunlight can really fuck them up, and all kinds of horrible other, like, bad organ things. But anyway, that's thought, people with that disease, were, it was another reason people thought vampires were a thing. That's where the look comes from.
The paleness and the fucking black slick back hair or whatever.
They call it, like, the vampire disease. Okay, have you ever heard of the Countess Elizabeth Bathory?
No.
She was alive 1560 to 1614. I think we talked about her in the serial killers episode, actually.
Did we?
She killed a whole bunch of girls and would bathe in their blood. Do you remember that at all?
No, that's fucked up.
Yeah, she would bite the flesh of these girls while she was torturing them, eventually kill them, and bathe in their blood to retain her beauty. She was supposed to be pretty attractive, though.
What about, like, so I know that's a movie, Queen of the Damned, which we'll probably touch on the next thing, but that's from something. Like,
what, Queen of the Damned?
Yeah.
That's another one of the Anne Rice Interview with the Vampire movies.
Oh, okay, so that's part of the Interview with the Vampire
Chronicles.
I was not aware of that. I did not know that.
Yeah, so Lestat from the first movie is in it. Louis from the first movie, from Interview with the Vampire, is in it.
Same actors, Brad Pitt?
I've read the books.
Tom Cruise?
No, not the same actors. The Interview with the, or Queen of the Damned was kind of shitty.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't that good. It had a whole soundtrack done by Jonathan Davis of Korn.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
So it was kind
of
like really like metallic, fucking whiny. I don't know. It was okay. Let's see. According to several legends, if someone was bitten by a suspected vampire, he or she should drink the ashes of a burned vampire.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So I read that in your document. That's kind of fucking gnarly, isn't it?
Yeah, and it says also to prevent an attack, you should make bread with the blood of a vampire and eat it. So...
make bread with the blood of a vampire?
Yeah, and then you'll be pretty well.
Well, no, that goes against what they were saying earlier about drinking the blood of a vampire becoming one.
Well, eating and drinking are different. If you bake it, it loses the properties.
I don't believe that for one second. You made that up, and that's lies and deceit is what that is.
All right, how about this? In 2009, a 16th century female skull with a rock wedged in its mouth was found near the remains of some plague victims. It was not unusual during that century to shove a rock or brick in the mouth of a suspected vampire to prevent it from feeding on bodies of other plague victims or attacking the living.
See, now I heard they'd shove a clove of garlic in their mouth to keep them from coming back.
Yeah, classically, they'll shove anything in anybody's mouth.
Me too.
Oh, man, that's gross. Female vampires are also often blamed for spreading the bubonic plague throughout of Europe.
Why don't you look up the 2005 London incident? I don't have a lot of information on it, but I'm pretty sure it's important.
2005 London vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm searching that right now.
Yeah, from what I gathered, there was just like a big occurrence, and you know, the people kept thinking that it was vampires. People are getting mutilated in the streets and shit like that. No, nothing. You don't have nothing.
I see nothing.
Nothing.
It's apparently been completely suppressed. I'm being sarcastic here.
Oh, the Illuminati probably took care of this one for us.
Yeah.
Huh.
Let's see.
So here, I have a question before we go into anything pop culture at all.
Hold on.
Oh, what do we got here?
We asked before how to become a vampire. In folklore, vampire, you can become a vampire not only through a bite, but also if they were once a werewolf, practiced sorcery, were excommunicated, committed suicide, or the illegitimate child of parents who were illegitimate. or even stillbirth or died before baptism.
So if you're an illegitimate child of an illegitimate child, you're a vampire?
You might just become a vampire.
Well, that's fucked up.
So
that's not that kid's fault.
That had me thinking, too. If vampires are like only can be made by a vampire, that means there had to be an original vampire, like chicken and the egg style.
The original reptile.
The original. We're not talking about reptiles. We're talking about vampires.
Well, I know, but they're really kind of one and the same.
I'm going to stab you again. Why is it every day we're together, I feel like hurting you? You irritate me.
That's because you always want to do the things you can't do. So who would win in a fight?
Anyway, in addition to anyone who's eaten the flesh of a sheep killed by a wolf, was the seventh son or was the child of a pregnant woman who was looked upon by a vampire. So if you were inside of a woman who was looked at by a vampire, you're now a vampire.
Just all you got to do is look at him?
Yep. If you were a nun who stepped over an unburied body, had teeth when you were born, or had a cat jump on the corpse before being buried, could also turn you into a vampire. It's also said that in some vampire folklore that a vampire will initially just emerge as a soft, blurry shape with no actual form, and it takes time for them to coalesce and pull their body together. So at first it'll be almost like a bag of blood, and then eventually they can pull together a whole body.
Really?
In this particular lore.
I think it's gnarly how they don't see their reflection in the mirror, you know what I mean? That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's like myth, big myth deal with vampires.
I wanted to find out why. I just never got back around to Google and why they can't see themselves.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, because they're vampires. They don't have a reflection.
Let's see. In Romania...
Maybe because a reflection needs light, and they can't be in the sunlight, you know? So, like, maybe the light's not reflecting their body because...
No. Let's talk about that. Symptoms of being a vampire.
Oh, symptoms?
Yeah, no reflection.
No reflection.
So this is like, say you're working with somebody and they might be a vampire.
Sensitivity to light.
Sensitivity to light. They got better vision at night. Pale.
Pale, yeah.
Somebody's pale, they're definitely a vampire.
But if you're pale, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a vampire.
I think it does.
Every pale person in the world is a vampire?
If you don't see them eat food, yes. I'm generalizing, but every single person, and especially albinos, are all vampires.
Albinos are all vampires. Well, that's good to know.
Apparently heightened senses. So if somebody, like, you know, you always notice they never get hit with something as it's getting ready to get to them.
Oh, yeah, very, very good reflexes. Speed of a cat.
Unaccounted for strength, you know what I mean? Strength, like, how are you that strong, that sort of thing. Let's see, cravings for certain types of food. No, that seems
like blood.
Looking at my notes here.
Like, what about, what's that movie where that guy drinks, he goes to the den and then gets that pint of pig's blood?
Oh, what movie was that?
I can't remember.
Was it Once Bitten where he was drinking the pig's blood?
No, it wasn't Once Bitten.
Oh, what was that?
I don't know.
Yeah, he would go to the butcher shop and buy, like,
he had that mentor, the mentor that was, and there was a van. What the fuck movie was that?
I don't know. We'll get to that next time, though. What else we got here? Ability to heal quicker.
Not being able to go into the house without being invited. That's straight from Phantom. Thank you. That's true. You know, if you're a vampire, you can't come in the house. Like, may I come in? No. Well, fuck. You know?
I've also heard, have you ever heard of hawthorn trees? Or apparently, that's another way to get rid of vampires, to spread hawthorn branches around.
Well, I didn't think it was called hawthorn. I thought it was something else.
There's rowan trees also. They use those to make crosses. Salt will get rid of a vampire.
Salt, yeah, I've heard salt.
Iron, they say, will deter vampires, so you should wear iron jewelry as opposed to, like, silver. Bells will drive a vampire away.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
And a vampire
that's
goes
why,
away.
Yeah, that's why vampires go away, because angels are around.
Peppermint.
I mean, I just like the smell.
Here's another one I've heard of before, running water. Have you heard that vampires can't cross running water?
Yeah, I have heard that.
I remember a story when I was a kid.
Because running water, like, is supposed to be pure holiness. Like,
I have no clue why.
That's what I had heard, is that, you know,
I saw a movie, or maybe it was a cartoon or something when I was a kid, where a vampire couldn't chase these people because there was an underground river, and they couldn't cross it.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
So, I mean, I guess if you're a good geologist and you know where all that shit is, you're safe during a vampire apocalypse.
Here's another little gift from my notes about garlic. Some say it was because garlic actually smelled worse than the vampire himself, is that they were scared of it. So that's the lore there for garlic.
Allison von Durlin, she's just kind of eating us up on the chat. She says, come on, stakes through the heart? This is so fake. Well, that's probably because vampires are fake. So, yeah, everything we're going to be talking about here is probably going to be based in not reality, because, you know, there's really no such thing as fucking vampires.
So you say.
So, yeah. But anyways, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, how about this? Garlic, this is from my notes. Garlic, a traditional vampire repellent, has been used as a form of protection for over 2,000 years. Ancient Egyptians believed garlic was a gift from God. Roman soldiers thought it gave them courage. Sailors believed it protected them from shipwreck. And German miners protected them from evil spirits when they went underground.
You know, I can get behind that because the little packets of garlic sauce that you get with, like, from pizza places are like a gift from God. That stuff's good. Joe Galindo thinks that we're both vampires, you and I.
I don't see it.
I mean, I could totally see you being a vampire, but not me. I'm too cool for that shit.
In several cultures, apparently, brides have carried garlic under their clothes for protection, and cloves of garlic were used to protect people from a wide range of illnesses. Modern-day scientists actually use garlic in oil, allicin, or use it. I'm butchering it. This is my bad. Modern-day scientists have found that the oil in garlic, allicin, is a highly effective antibiotic.
Really?
So it's kind of cool.
An antibiotic?
Yep.
I did not know that. Hypnotism. Yeah, I said that, Phantom Code. Hypnotism. They can hypnotize, make them do what they want. So vampires were the first people that perpetuated MKUltra. They were the ones that started all that. No, that's just hogwash right there. But
you're killing me.
Mind control, you know?
All right. How about, I'm just going through my notes still here. I have so much, I wish I would have organized it better. The need for blood. While drinking blood isn't enough to define a vampire, it is an overwhelming feature. In some cultures, drinking the blood of a victim allowed the drinker to absorb the victim's strength or take on an animal's quality. So it's
Fright Night. Was it Fright Night where he drank the blood?
No, Fright Night was pretty good, though.
That's fucking with me that I can't remember what movie that was.
It's all you can think of.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
All right, how about this? Before Christianity, methods of repelling vampires included garlic, hawthorn branches, rowan trees, scattering seeds, fire, decapitation with a gravedigger's spade.
Ooh.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah, that's gnarly as shit. I like to see that.
Salt, iron bells, a rooster's crow, peppermint, running water, and burying a suspected vampire at a crossroads.
Crossroads, like just where two roads meet?
Just where two roads meet.
Now, what the fuck? That doesn't make much sense.
Crossroads have always been like, think about deals with the devil are made at the crossroads. You know, at midnight, you go down to the crossroads.
The fork in the road.
I guess so. It's always been like a mythical place. It's also not unusual for a corpse to be buried face down so that it would dig the wrong way if it comes back to life.
One more time. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It says in my notes here, I've got, it's not unusual for people to have been buried face down. So that they come back to life, they dig the wrong way.
Oh, they dig the wrong way. Yeah, I seen that.
You're China's problem now, bitch.
Yeah, I watched a YouTube video where they said that they bury them face down so that they just dig the wrong way and dig into hell.
Yep.
What about
Let's see.
Maybe it was, I can't remember the name of that movie.
Don't worry about it. We'll worry about it next episode. I think I pretty much wasted all my notes here by bouncing through them back and forth.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. So, like, who's more badass, werewolves or vampires? I mean, YouTube, why don't you help us out on that? What's the chat saying about
it? It's not even a question.
Who's more badass?
Vampires. Every day, all day.
What, you don't think that a werewolf can't rip a vampire
Generally,
up?
Werewolves are servants to vampires. They're lower levels.
No, come yes. on. A werewolf's bite can kill a vampire.
Or a scratch, yeah. It is kind of like it's one of those things that could just kill a vampire, but so what?
What do you mean, so what?
Okay, put armor on a vampire. Now it's 1,000 times more stronger than
put armor on a werewolf.
I don't think armor would stop a vampire. They're too smart. Werewolves generally are mindless creatures.
Beasts, yeah. Yeah, you're right. There's more
vampires
thinking.
Are cunning. See, hundreds now, of years old, you get strategy out the ass.
I watched BJ Penn. It was another video on YouTube, and it said they asked BJ Penn who would win a fight in the cage, werewolves or vampires in MMA. And
they're just too fast.
And he's like, vampires would win. He's like, as beastie and as muscular and strong as a werewolf is, BJ Penn's going with vampires. That's
what BJ would know. He got the shit beat out of him like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Did he?
By the way, he came back out of retirement.
Who did it?
Nobody.
Oh, a no name.
Yeah.
I'm so sad for him. He's such a... I liked BJ Penn. Yeah, I really do.
So I got a shit ton of websites I got all my sources from. I was going to give them out.
Oh, yeah,
I guess
look.
I will.
Everybody, here we go. We got Joe Galindo, werewolves are better. S. Seeger's werewolves. Sarah Franco says vampires. David Lorenzett says that his father-in-law is a vampire. He sucks me dry of food and free will. He is basically...
Free Wi-Fi.
Will, free Wi-Fi. He basically lives at my house.
He's saying it. He's a parasite.
I get it. Well, we're sorry to hear that.
Vampires can't come out during the day, so there can't be badasses all day. Some can. Look at Blade. He was a daywalker. There's daywalkers.
Phantom Code says she thinks a werewolf would tear the shit out of a vampire. And just to be clear, we're talking about like a 600 or 700 pound, 8 foot long fucking human, bigger than this table.
Yeah, big ass werewolf. Like the scariest werewolf you could think of.
Right.
Versus the scariest vampire you could think of. I'm taking the vampire.
You're taking the vampire?
Too fast, too strong, too vicious. As vicious as a werewolf is, they're mindless vicious.
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of like strategy or anything like
that. The vampire will show up behind you and pull your heart backwards through you. You know what I mean? Before that werewolf even knew that he moved.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I don't know. That's open for debate, in my opinion.
I disagree. Any vampire out there is supposed to have super speed, so that's all it takes, in my opinion. You got anything else on lore of vampires? Any other thoughts? Want an allergy pill?
Maybe.
You got some Allegra.
No, that's about it on lore.
Yeah. All right, well, let's kill this first episode.
We'll wrap this one up, and then we will...
How do you feel about this first half?
Well, it's not bad. We brought some information out there, too. Yeah. I can tell that you're not very happy.
I'm not.
You never are. You can never look at the good side. You're always a half-empty kind of guy.
Not true. Last week I felt
no,
really
I'm good. A half-full kind of guy. You're a half-empty kind of guy. Let's just be serious about things here.
Fair enough. I don't know. I'd say there's water in the glass. I don't care how much.
If you're real thirsty, you're going to care how much.
Well, I don't let myself get that thirsty. I drink before then.
What do you drink? Blood?
So this has been Surreal Talk.
lineupmedia.fm production. Join us in about 20 minutes, and we'll be back with the pop culture side. Oh, points to Team Eric. Thank you. Thank you, Seegers. I appreciate that.
Yeah, he did a lot of – look at his pile of notes and stuff. Team Eric all the way.
Fuck off.
You're winning, though, on the poll right now.
What's the poll like? Go to our website, www.surrealtalkpodcast.com. Vote in the poll, Team Eric or Team Everett.
Let me look here. We'll find out.
It's much like Team Jacob or Team Edward, but it's way fucking cooler than that.
You're winning 67-66.
67-6. How is it so close?
I don't have a clue. You're fucking horrible. I don't know how you're even close to me at all.
Team half full, Frank says. Yeah.
Team half full. Team like half brain.
It's a half wit.
Team half wit.
Team half wit. All right. Well, join us in about 20 minutes for part two. Of vampires.
Oh, hold on. We're not done.
We're not done.
A shout out we had to give. You can't forget
that. Oh, gosh, yeah, the shout out. This kid's going to shit his pants.
So we got a message through the week from a guy named Corey Berger, one of our listeners. He listens with his son, Nick, and he wanted us to give a shout out to him. Hey, Nick, what's going on, man? Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. What are you doing, Eric? We're doing a shout out to Nick.
I can hear you. Shout out.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, just the word shout out for you.
No, Nick's the old boy's kid. He said that he wanted to hear that to listen to the show together.
You know, okay, now you know who he is. Hello.
Hello.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for listening. If you're going to do some shopping.
Eric as the twinkly fuck. Well, you know what? That's just not true.
Eric is a twinkly vampire. If he was a vampire, he'd be a twinkly vampire.
I have a head cold is what
you'd
I
either be that. I would think you'd pick you're going to be the Reaper from Blade 2 or Reavers or whatever they are. With the big open jaws?
No, God, no.
Yeah, that's you.
No, I'd be the Dark Overlord from Howard the Duck.
If you're going to do some shopping on Amazon, go to our website, SerialTalkPodcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side of the page. It'll take you to our special Amazon, what's it called, portal?
Yeah,
for lack of a better term. I'm going to close your laptop. I'm going to break the fucker with a hammer, too.
It's a portal.
Get off of it.
Much like
a
portal.
The chat is not important right now. We're doing the outro. I love you guys out there, but we're doing the outro.
I'll tell you why after the show why that was important.
Chris, I'm sorry, but I'm going to throw this pin like a goddamn dart, put it right through his head.
Yeah, well, I have reflex of a vampire, and I will fucking catch it and throw it right back at you.
You'll see.
Goodbye, yeah. Mr. Button.
All right, enough of the outro. We'll catch you guys all next time. We're just gonna say no outro this time.
No outro?
Yeah, because you suck.
You suck.
See you next time.
No, next time is in like 20 minutes on the live chat. Well, podcast would be...
Actually, just download the next file because it's ready right now.
It's ready right now?
Well, I mean, by the time they are listening to it, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
In the future, we're done. Think fourth dimensionally.
Wow, in the future, we are done. You're just not thinking fourth dimensionally. Shit. Mind fuck. All right, thank you. Catch you next time.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.